You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
LaVine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern at 9 a.m. Central Time. That's Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago and host of the 312 Show on AM 1590 WCGO. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Text and voicemail line, drop us a voicemail. Drop us all your questions at 331-979-1369. The place to hit us up. If you've got a vent about last night's game, we are here for you, 331-979-1369. Well, Matt, just to start right off the top of the episode, you know, we talked about the betting line last night, and before we got on here, I told you I put a little bit of money on the Bulls last night at plus 13. It looked good in the first quarter, and then I had to turn it off. I was disgusted with myself halfway through the third quarter.
What's up, Jordan? I tried to warn you, buddy. I tried to tell you that betting on the Bulls cover that spread was a big mistake. Celtics haven't looked very good recently, and this and that. And dude, come on. The Celtics, yeah, they've had their struggles. They had a tough road trip, but they were home last night, clearly looking to get things right. And the Bulls were exactly the right team for them to face to get things right, because yeah, Jabari Parker had a solid first quarter, 14 to the Bulls 24. The Bulls actually led 24-19 after one, but second quarter came around and it was one of those quarters we've seen from the Bulls this season where they just completely collapse, the wheels fall off, turnovers, you know, in bunches on the offensive end, and still no transition defense, no real half court defense. And when the Bulls aren't making their threes, which they struggled to do last night, and they're the defensive team that struggles, as opposed to you mentioned recently, yeah, the Bulls have had kind of an upward trend on the defensive end. Now, the Celtics, there's too much talent on that team. I knew we were going to get our asses handed to us last night. So whatever amount of money you put on the Bulls covering, I hope it wasn't that much.
Yeah, it was. It costed me maybe a night out, but I made it back with Indiana. I flipped over to Indiana, and at least they blew out Marquette at home in college basketball last night. Romeo Langford looking really good, too. That might be a guy to keep your eye on, too, Bulls fans. If we don't end up in the top four, top five of the lottery, that might be a guy that might be available there. So just keep your eye on him. But yeah, going back to last night's game against the Celtics, pretty good start in the first quarter. Bulls offense looked pretty solid. And then you hit the wall of giving up 32 points in the second quarter and 11 points scoring. That's not going to do you too much good. And you saw this, like the Celtics' depth, and even with some injuries and some guys not playing, Marcus Morris didn't even play last night. far, far better than the Bulls bench last night, which is kind of crazy to me. Like, the Bulls bench hasn't been bad this year. I don't think it's been that bad just from the eye test. But when you got Jaylen Brown, who came out of nowhere this season, now this is the first time he's scored a ton of points in a game. It led all the Celtics players with 18 points. And the biggest problem of them all, Matt, I said this on our preview yesterday, is that the Celtics are top five in attempts at the three-point line per game. And while they sat middle of the pack last night, they shot almost nearly 50% from three, 44.1% on 15 of 34. So this was an ugly one, man. And I think, you know, as much as it's hard to watch these games, I think the Bulls were in for a blowout. And, you know, I was surprised it didn't come sooner than that. And especially what we've seen coming over the last two or three games against the Cavs, and then on Monday night, barely squeaking out a win on Saturday, and then barely losing on Monday. So I don't know. I should have.
Then why'd you bet on them? You silly fool.
Well, they could have lost. They could have lost, and I could have still covered. So I'd have been happy there. I should have known though. I should have known there was a blowout coming, and I should have known against the Celtics going on the road with this bad Bulls team, this injured, depleted Bulls team. I should have known.
And I mean, really, Zach LaVine said it after last night's game in his locker room interview that it's not like he's discouraged or frustrated right now, but he did admit that when LaVine doesn't score somewhere between 25 and 30, it's hard for this team, as shorthanded as they are right now, to stay in games, especially against quality opponents. And LaVine had no doubt his worst game of the season last night. 3 of 11, 0 of 2 from downtown, just 4 free throw attempts, 10 points. 4 assists, 4 turnovers. That 20-point games, that 20 points in every game to start the season streak came crashing to a halt last night. And LaVine just looked tired. He had a breakaway dunk where he didn't do anything flashy. He just kind of, you know, put it in there. He had another rough shooting night. And it's like this guy is asked to do so much for this team right now. And we've had a string of games where he's been struggling to shoot the ball from range. And when that's not working for LaVine and he's getting all of the attention of our opponent's defense, there's not a whole lot that this team can do to make up for that. Jabari had a solid first quarter and then completely fell off. 14 points in the first quarter for Jabari, didn't score again the rest of the game. And the role players, Holiday, just 2 of 7 from downtown. I mean, really not much of anything from the bench except Shaq Harrison looking like a guy who still cares playing in garbage time. That's sort of been his MO this season. Shaq Harrison, 16 off the bench, actually led the Bulls last night. And that's not a good sign.
Yeah, that's crazy. Some of the things that I think might be irritating LaVine just from the eye test, just watching these games the last few days, listening to his comments too, he seems super frustrated that nobody else on this team can help him out and score. And you see it too, like the Bulls have nothing going on the offensive end. I thought last night, you know, it's been stagnated and I don't know what's going on, why all of a sudden it seems like they get zero ball movement. A lot of them just want to go ISO and play one-on-one ball, and that doesn't work. Like, outside of LaVine, who has proved that he's allowed to do that this season, who else has showed us that works, that that's going to be an effective way to win games, is to play isolation basketball? You know, after getting blown out from Golden State, and take the games between then and take the games between the Cavs on Saturday nights, ball movement has been pretty solid for the Bulls, and the defense has picked it up. And now over the last three games, it's like everybody's gone to do their own thing now. And that can tip off, and that can be added in compliment to Wendell Carter Jr.'s comments at the end of the game last night, which we'll get into in a second. But yeah, man, like, Parker was brought in here especially to help LaVine out. And now with all these injuries too, we thought that he'd maybe capitalize on this, but outside of some really good first quarters from Jabari and maybe a one or two plays at the end of games, it's been a whole lot of nothing in the middle, and that's where I think it's hurt the Bulls the most.
Yeah, it's been bad. And I mean, you mentioned the pace last night. This was a slow, gross game from the Bulls, who were not, and you heard Hoiberg talk about it after the game, they weren't getting into their offensive system quickly enough. When this Bulls team gets stuck in trying to play half-court offense, they are not very good. The ball movement's not very good. as much as Fred wants to talk about playing offense with a lot of spacing, there were a lot of spacing issues that I saw last night. And 22 turnovers. 22 turnovers. All this Bulls team needs to face is a little bit of defensive pressure, and they collapse. And it's not just LaVine getting trapped, and LaVine, I mentioned he had 4 turnovers. Jabari had 5. You know, there were a whole bunch more turnovers off the bench. Blakeney had 4 turnovers last night. Hutchison had 2. Lopez had 2. Wendell had had a couple. Like, the Bulls are just so lacking in talent that they cannot afford to play sloppy basketball. And maybe, you know, there's some correlation to, well, less talented players are more likely to turn the ball over. Fine. Whatever it is. But the Bulls looked like a very undisciplined team last night. And that, again, goes back to what you were saying with Wendell's comments after the game.
Yeah, Wendell's comments, and, you know, I had brought it up on Twitter last night after the game. More, like, some people, I think, are a little bit concerned with him being very vocal as a rookie. And I'm completely against that. But I want to play the audio from some of the people out there that maybe didn't get a chance to hear Wendell Carter Jr.'s comments after the game. Here he is talking about maybe what's missing on this team and what he is seeing as a rookie so far.
It's coming together as a team. You know, when the times get hard, I feel like we start to separate. And I feel like those are times we need each other the most. And it's not so much as an offensive, defensive thing, but, you know, just coming out of timeouts, we go our separate ways. And, you know, instead of huddling as a team, we only huddle when it's a timeout. And I feel like that's important, you know, just to talk to one another, interact with one another throughout the game so we get a feel for one another and know that we got each other's back. I feel like that's where we struggle right now.
Does that start with one voice? Where does that start? And it's hard. That's chemistry, right?
Yeah, it's hard, you know. I guess it does kind of start with one voice. Okay. And we're looking for that voice right now.
Now, the biggest takeaway, too, after listening to that, it's not necessarily the blowout last night from the Celtics. Like, with the lack of talent that you have, like, this is expected. This is expected to happen. So I'm not that angry about it. I think the more enlightening thing is Wendell Carter Jr.'s comments about how there's really no vocal voice on this team. It seems like we're all playing separate basketball when we go out on the floor, and the only time we huddle up is when Fred Hoiberg is maybe drawing up a play or talking to the guys, but nobody else huddles up and talks, and nobody's vocal on this team. And he clearly said, I don't think there is a leader on this team yet, and somebody's got to be that voice. And you know, he said multiple times, even going back a few weeks when we talked about how he said, you know, I don't think anybody's going to listen to me, but I'm going to still try and bark as much as I can. But nobody wants to listen to a 19-year-old rookie. Well, I think that's a shame, man, especially if he's the one seeing this now 13 games in, that nobody really wants to step up and be a leader. Like, I'm not ready to be super concerned about it yet, but this is the type of problem that's going to, I think, continue to be a theme at least for the next couple of months. And that's partly what this season is about, is to try and find that leader and try to find that voice.
Yeah, I have no problem whatsoever with what Wendell said last night. In fact, I applaud him for saying so. You and I talked about this a lot in the offseason. Who's going to be the leader of this team? And that's a different conversation than who's the face of the franchise, right? Because when the Bulls matched that offer for Zach LaVine to keep him here, I think we pretty much agreed that hoping that he came back strong and had a solid season, LaVine, more so than Dunn or more so than Markkanen, would become the face of the franchise, the all-star caliber player. And that's not necessarily the same thing as who the leader on this team is. Markkanen, clearly not a very vocal guy, doesn't seem like a guy who wants that role of being the vocal leader during timeouts and in the locker room and at practice. Chris Dunn seems to be the guy who most has talked about embracing that role and wanting to serve that role. And you have guys like Bobby Portis telling, you know, Chris Dunn came to me and said, hey, look, man, when you're anchoring that defense from the center position, when you're playing, you know, like all the way there at the baseline, you can see things. You're the quarterback of the defense. Chris Dunn saying things to Zach LaVine like, hey, man, you are longer and more athletic than I am. There's no reason that you shouldn't be just as good on the defensive side of the ball as I am. Chris Dunn saying things like that is what makes Chris Dunn a potential vocal leader on this team. But Chris Dunn's not playing right now. So somebody on that floor and somebody during those timeouts who's going back onto that floor has to be that vocal leader. And right now, it sure as shit doesn't seem like that person is Zach LaVine. Face of the franchise? Most talented offensive player? Sure. Vocal leader? No. That doesn't exist right now. And Fred is such a soft-spoken coach that it seems like Wendell, having been here for all of a few months, has already realized, hey, nobody's the one person telling people where they need to be. And nobody's the one person making sure that everybody is holding themselves accountable. That's a problem. That's a problem. And I'm glad that Wendell is speaking up about it and saying something. Because guess what? If a 19-year-old kid knows the most about what people should be doing on the defensive end and who should be where and who should be doing what, I don't care that he's 19. Take that upon yourself and be the leader. And if anybody has a problem with that, take it up with the guy who's actually trying to lead this team.
100% agree with you about Chris Dunn. And I would even throw Bobby Portis in there. And it comes from being a vocal leader on the floor. And those two guys, you can see, outside of them just actually being out there playing, but they miss that presence. They miss it. Even sitting on the bench, it's not the same. It's not the same at all. So, you know, a lot of Bulls fans notice that too. It's like BP and Chris Dunn, both of those guys are the guys to set the tone. And we said that like early on, even the few games we saw Bobby in there and the one game we saw Chris Dunn in there, both guys were super vocal and you could hear the difference. You could see the difference in the intensity that the Bulls were playing with. And now it's kind of like it's lackluster a little bit. And you're right. Like, being the face of the franchise doesn't necessarily mean that you're automatically the leader of the team. And LaVine, I think, is trying to figure out how to be that guy, but is also frustrated too. And rightfully so, man. Like, when you're the only guy out there knocking down buckets consistently and basically killing yourself after, you know, after coming off an ACL injury where your expectations are high but shouldn't be this high. And so I think he's trying to figure all of that stuff out too. The other thing too I will say is, traditionally, I think there's some basketball fans out there, maybe some Bulls fans too, that think, well, you know, maybe this isn't such a good thing for Wendell Carter Jr. to be doing, you know, being super vocal in the beginning of his career. He's a rookie. Like, I don't know how that's going to go across to other guys who've been in the league already and had some experience. And to me, I can understand that if this team was filled with a bunch of veterans. This team only has four guys that are in their fifth year or more in the NBA. Three of those guys aren't going to be here next year. LaVine is the only guy that's going to have 5 years of experience on this team and be here next year or be here long term. Robin Lopez, Justin Holiday, Jabari Parker, all not going to be here next year. So somebody has to step up and say something. Somebody's got to be that guy. And if it's got to be the rookie, I can't knock him for it. And at least he's transparent and honest with the fan base. And that's what I care about most. And I'm not mad about the comments either. It doesn't sound like Wendell Carter Jr. is doing this in a negative or critical tone either. And it's all about the delivery and the message that you send. And I think Wendell Carter Jr. is just identifying the problem, saying this is some of the things that we're going to have to work through, and not hiding things and not making things up to the fan base. That's what I can appreciate about Wendell Carter Jr. making these comments. And maybe quietly we're seeing a leader start to emerge here in him.
That's what you hope. That's really and truly that's what you hope. And you hope that his teammates acknowledge and appreciate and respect the fact that even at such a young age and as a rookie, he's trying to say, hey, somebody's got to lead this team. And certainly with Dunn out for a while longer, especially on the defensive end, it goes back to what you were saying about LaVine and how exhausted he is and how much he's being asked to do on the offensive end. We know that LaVine's not a great defensive player, and if he wants to make his focus right now being the leading scorer of this team, that's fine. But somebody has to be the leader for this team on the defensive end, and the number of defensive breakdowns and the lack of, you know, competency when they're dealing with switching and the lack of help defense from the weak side and all these different things, that it's clear as day. Even a middle-minded basketball fan can see what's going on in the court. And people who are aware of how you play defense on a basketball court are saying, I can't believe that this is the stuff that we're trying to fix right now. Wendell's 19. Shaq Harrison was in a Bulls uniform for all of 45 seconds on the floor before he started calling out his teammates for defensive breakdowns and missed assignments. So you got two kids who are trying to prove themselves. One of them's a rookie. One of them's a cast off from the scrap heap. And they are the ones, more so than any of their teammates, some of whom are veterans, that look like they give a damn on the defensive end. And some of that will hopefully be fixed when Chris Dunn comes back. And some of that will hopefully be fixed as LaVine figures out how to be not just a scoring leader, but a vocal leader on this team. But in the meantime, I better not hear any little even whisper from reports of people that are in that Bulls locker room of saying that Wendell's teammates have a problem with what he said last night. Because if they do, then I'm sorry, but turn around and look at yourself in the mirror before you criticize that young man for trying to get this team to give a damn and trying to get this team to play together.
Yeah, I'm curious how that went over with the teammates in that locker room after hearing that. I can't imagine that they'd be pissed off about it. But my biggest question, too, is like, okay, the front office said Robin Lopez and Justin Holiday are here to give veteran presence, right? Where is that veteran presence? Like, I know that they're helping out guys individually, but where is that presence as a team? And maybe it comes from Robin Lopez being frustrated about his role on this team. And, you know, he said, even in comments made by, you know, he was quoted on NBC Sports Chicago this week about saying, I'd be a jackass for not helping out my the younger guys in this league. You know, this league has given me so much. He's in his 10th year. This league has given me so much, and I'd be a jackass not to help those other guys out, the younger ones. And he's brought Wendell Carter Jr. and helped him out already. Really great. Individually, that's great. But where is the presence when you see some of these younger guys starting to fraction off and starting to play for themselves? Like, we don't have one of those guys, one of those veterans to just rein it all back in and say, hey, guys, you know, look what's happening when we play a part. We get blown out. We get embarrassed. We turn the ball over. There's no offense going. Like, that's the guy that's missing. And I'm not confident that Lauri Markkanen is going to be that guy, and I don't think he needs to be that guy. And Chris Dunn and Bobby Portis may be those guys on the floor, but where's the guy that's collectively always bringing them back together? Where's that veteran presence? And that's what's kind of missing on this Bulls team. And, you know, that would be my only worry about this team. So, you know, I look at the Phoenix Suns and I look at some of the other tanking teams that have been super young without that veteran presence, and they've lost a lot of games and the chemistry has been kind of weird. So I can value veterans being on this team from the standpoint that you get to a case like this now where you don't have a vocal leader and you don't have a voice, and it can kind of hurt things on this team. So I'm not ready to press the panic button about any of this. I think this is a concern if we're still talking about having no voice in the middle of February when we're completely healthy, right? Like, that's when I would start to say, okay, there's probably some worry about this, but this is the thing that they're just going to have to work out. And I think if it turns out to be a rookie is going to become your vocal leader, one of your vocal leaders, then so be it. A lot of these guys are in their first contract under 5 years on this team, so yeah, so be it.
It's not like Wendell is calling out guys that are 10 years his senior. I mean, in some cases, some of these veterans, yeah. But Robin Lopez has turned around and said, heck, man, like, there's not a whole lot that I can teach Wendell. The kid's already so advanced for his age, and heck, I should be probably learning from him. So there shouldn't be any, well, I'm not allowed to speak up because I'm a rookie. No. If Wendell can offer his teammates some not only words of motivation, but also some actual help on what they should be doing on the defensive end, then you should do it. And to your point about, you know, hopefully this gets sorted out when we get some of these players back with Dunn and Bobby being some of the vocal leaders on this team. Yeah, hopefully we do. Until then, though, this very much looks like a young team, second youngest team in the league, that does not have one voice, that does not have one leader that they are all taking orders and instructions from and following behind and doing so willingly, as a member of a team that recognizes who their leader is. And I'm sorry, but a big part of this is still head coach Fred Hoiberg. Like, because even in Hoiberg's early seasons with this Bulls team, they still had their undisputed vocal leader, Joakim Noah. And what does Fred do? He sends Joakim to the bench, lies about it to the media as far as how it went down, and then Joakim is lost to the season with an injury, and the Bulls have not had a clear-cut, hands-down leader on this team since then, with all the turmoil of the three alphas years and the roster turnover. And I'm sorry, but Fred Hoiberg does not seem like a coach who has great relationship with player who is the leader. it is coach, and that is who is the coach giving orders to on the court, and who is that player that is the intermediary between the head coach and the players. That is a vital relationship that needs to exist for every successful basketball team. Head coach, leader on the leader of the players, how does that communication go from the head coach to the entire roster? That doesn't exist on this Bulls team right now, and Fred Hoiberg is certainly largely at fault for that.
I would agree, and you know, you can make up with some of that stuff if the coaching on the floor is good enough, but it frankly isn't. It's not good enough to make up for some of the
games that we're watching, some of the possessions that we're watching on either end of the floor. You're saying, how in the heck is this an NBA team running around looking like a team that doesn't have a coach and doesn't have a plan and doesn't have a system? Fred has done nothing this season to really show to me, to prove to me, that he is teaching these young kids how to play basketball. I've seen zero evidence of that.
I'm just going to preface it with this, to be fair. He is coaching basically half of the Windy City Bulls in the NBA this year.
That's true. That's true.
So I always have to preface it with that when I'm thinking about the direct result on the floor. And, you know, just one game, okay, I can take that. Same thing with Golden State a few weeks ago. I can deal with that. If the majority of the games are looking like they did last night in Boston, and I think we're going to get a perfect look at how the Bulls are going to play and what the tone is here over the next 2 weeks or so. You know, we had listed off the schedule for the Bulls to wrap up November, and it is a difficult one. So I can handle blowout losses because this team just frankly is lacking talent. You've got LaVine and Carter and basically everybody else. So I'll wait to see what the adjustments are. And, you know, at some point, somebody's got to step up, though, too. You just can't turn it on the coach. So it is partially for him to blame, but it's also like the guys in the locker room got to look at themselves and say, man, like, we need somebody else besides just the coach to step up and say what's real here. And I think Wendell Carter Jr., going back to him, he's the only one I think that's been real about this. And Zach LaVine, to some extent, has, but at the same time, isn't talking about the actual problems. He's just kind of more so saying, we got to figure out how to win. And that's great, and that is true. But Wendell Carter Jr. is like, no, in order to get to that point, we need somebody that's going to be vocal for us and be able to lead us when we are down. And we have to stick together and not separate like we did last night. So
yeah, man. And hopefully his teammate, like I said, hopefully Wendell's teammates respond well to it. And they respect the fact that the kid is trying to take some of this upon himself to say, you know what, you're right, we don't have a vocal leader on this team right now. And if everybody is looking at Chris Dunn and saying, well, when Chris Dunn comes back, we have our vocal leader back. Okay, fine. Until that happens, somebody else needs to step up. And good for Wendell for saying so.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. We're going to drop our one-year episode today. That's why this episode's a little bit shorter. So look out for that today. Hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Drop us a voicemail. What do you guys think about this? With these comments from Wendell Carter Jr., the lack of voice, the lack of leadership. Drop us a voicemail or text message with your thoughts, 331-979-1369. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow to drive you into the weekend. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.